the name of Christ Jesus, amen. Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never be thirsty forever. For the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Dear Christian friends, during the 40 days of Lent, let Jesus give you the water of eternal life, of which you drink and you never thirst again. A little context of this amazing conversation from the gospel lesson. Jacob's well is still there today. It's 3,800 years old, and the water is still clear, cold, and fresh today. Samaria and Sychar is in the area in between Galilee up north and Judea down south. Jesus, as true man, is weary from his journey. He sits by the well alone. He's thirsty. And he sends the disciples into town to buy food. Probably the most amazing conversation takes place in the entire New Testament between this amazing woman and Jesus. So today we take a close look with amazement at this conversation, because the water of this world also leaves us thirsty. Only the living water of Jesus can take away that thirst. Drink of the water of eternal life that only Jesus can give. So to look at this amazing conversation, let's first of all look at the woman of Samaria at Jacob's well, the water of this world. Then let's look at Jesus of the Jews at Jacob's well, the living water from heaven. And then let's look at how you and I, in Jesus the Christ, have spirit in truth and worship the Father in spirit. So let's begin with the woman of Samaria at Jacob's well, the water of this world. Now, because Samaria is in between Galilee in the north and Judea in the south, you had to walk through there when you traveled back and forth from up by Capernaum and the Sea of Galilee to go down to Jerusalem. You couldn't avoid Samaria. You had to walk through it. However, the Samaritans were considered by the Jews to kind of be like half-breeds. They were half Jew and half Gentile. They only accepted the first five books of Moses. They didn't accept the rest of the Old Testament. And they didn't worship at Jerusalem and Mount Zion at the temple. They set up their own place of worship in Mount Gerizim. All of this was in disobedience to what God had commanded through David and Solomon. And they were wrongly understanding the Old Testament. Because they rejected all the other Old Testament prophets, they were not worshiping where God had commanded them to worship, in Jerusalem at the Holy of Holies. And as a result, the Jewish people avoided Samaritans at all costs. And in fact, they did not even want to touch them, much less get a drink of water from them. So you will see how amazing it is, this conversation and this interplay back and forth between the woman and Jesus, showing his love for her and for all people. Well, taking a look at this woman and the water of this world, you see that the woman is drawing water in the middle of a hot day, and you see there's things being left unsaid here. Women would normally come in the cool of the morning to draw water. This was a woman about town. She had a history. She was probably avoided by everyone else, and thus she is coming in the hottest part of the day to draw water. So, Jesus asks her for a drink, and she is shocked. "Me, a Samaritan and a woman, you're asking me to give you a drink?" You see, that would have required her to touch this bucket, to lower it into the water, to put it into a cup and hand it to him. Jacob's well was very deep. And she said, his sons and livestock used it, and we use it today. You're telling me you have living water? Well, give me some of this water, because I don't want to have to come here and draw every day at noon. And then when the conversation changes, and Jesus says, go call your husband, and she says, I have no husband. For she had had five husbands, and the man she was with now, the sixth one, wasn't really her husband. She is smart, she's truthful, she's honest, and she's astute. And she knows exactly what Jesus is getting at. Again, she changes the subject. She doesn't really want to talk about this. And changes the subject to, you Jews worship at Jerusalem, we worship here at Mount Gerizim. She knew only the books of Moses, the first five books. But she knew that the Messiah, the Christ, was coming, who will tell us all things, because the books of Moses do foretell the coming of the Messiah, who would come to crush the head of the serpent. Yes, the woman was a sinner, but so are we. She actually, you can tell, recognizes her sin. She doesn't really want to face it, but she knows she can't hide from this man by the well. She doesn't know who he is. You see, Jesus is willing to talk to anyone, anywhere. It did not matter to him that she was a woman and that she was a Samaritan. Jesus did come for the Jews first, but he came for all of us Gentiles. We are like this woman. We are like this woman in the heat of day, who when confronted by the law with our sins, put our head down in shame and realize, like her, I really can't change the subject. The Lord knows who I am. You know, you can't hide from Jesus. However, the Lord Jesus is kind to her. The Lord Jesus is kind to sinners. As St. Paul said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So for this woman now, an amazing thing is going to happen. And now we see Jesus of the Jews at Jacob's well about to give her living water from heaven. In the middle of this conversation with the woman, it reveals who she is. But this text in John tells us so much about Jesus. It's amazing. Jesus is a true man. He needs to eat food. He gets hungry. He has to drink water. He's thirsty. He shares our flesh and blood, yet without sin. Jesus is a Jew. From Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Judah to David to Mary and Joseph, Jesus is truly the seed of Abraham and a Jew. The whole Old Testament, from Genesis to Malachi, said, yes, indeed, if I want to meet you, my people, I must meet you at the temple in Jerusalem at the Holy of Holies. That was the truth. He calls himself the gift of God, which is amazing. Jesus is the gift of God who came down in his incarnation, born of the Virgin Mary. He's the very gift of God in person. And he's talking to her. He says, I will give you living water, which means a spiritual drink. And you drink of this water I will give you, and you will never be thirsty again. And of course, he's saying that he quenches our spiritual thirst. And so we thirst no more when Jesus quenches it. Then he says, the water I give will spring up and well up to eternal life. He's speaking about the water of God's word, the water of eternal life and forgiveness. We see that he's omniscient. He knows all things. He knows all about her many husbands. But because he loves her and he loves you and me, he begins gently to confront her sins. And he appreciates her honesty. You've spoken truthfully. The Lord can deal with us if we are truthful. If we lie, if we try to hide, it's of no use. He can't deal with us until we admit our sin. And we're honest about it. He does allow her to understand that he was the prophet from God the Father. He was a prophet, just like she said. He knew about her past. He is the very prophet of God the Father. Jerusalem is the place where God said he would meet his people at the Ark of the Covenant. And salvation is from the Jews, meaning the Messiah had to come from the Jewish nation, for the Jews first, and then as a light for all the Gentile nations. But his lineage is from the Jews. Then something amazing happens that only happens here in the entire New Testament. When she says, I know when Messiah, Christ comes, he'll teach us all things. It's astounding. It's almost like there should be timpanies and lightning bolts. Jesus simply says to this woman, I who speak to you am he. It still gives me chills every time I hear that. Because all of the prophecies from Genesis to Malachi of the Messiah who will be the prophet, the priest, and the king are all fulfilled in Christ. Normally Jesus hides this from people because he doesn't want them to make him to an earthly king. And he knows that only after his resurrection will people really understand who he is as a Messiah. But for this woman, in this context, he clearly tells her exactly who he is. I who speak to you am he. Now, the gospel lesson was long enough, but you know the rest of the chapter is just as good, because she goes running into the town and says, I found a man who told me everything I ever did. And then the whole town comes out, and Jesus goes and speaks with them, and many people come to believe in Jesus because of his words that he is the Messiah, and because she said, he told me everything I've ever done. And these were Samaritans, some of the first people to believe that Jesus was the Messiah were these despised Samaritans, showing that Jesus didn't despise them. Jesus honored them by speaking with them and allowing this woman to realize that he was the promised Christ. What does this mean for you and for me? It means that Jesus is the Christ. We just confessed that in the Nicene Creed. In him, we have spirit and truth, and we know who God the Father is through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what it means for you. You and I, brought to faith by the Holy Spirit, are true worshipers of God because we worship in spirit and in truth. The Father is seeking people who want to worship him in spirit and in truth because God is spirit. He has given you your body and your soul. We must worship God in spirit and truth with our eyes and our ears and our heart in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know what the Holy Spirit teaches you about Jesus the Christ in the epistle lesson from Romans this morning? You have been justified, that is, declared righteous in the sight of God by faith, because Jesus, your substitute, was crucified for you and poured out his blood upon the cross. Because the Christ died for you, you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's at peace with you. You have access to God by faith in this grace in which we stand. You can pray to him. You know you have eternal life through Christ. And more than that, he says, you can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We all have sufferings, which produces endurance, which produces character, which produces hope, and there's no shame. Because God's love has been poured into your hearts like an empty cup that God has filled with the water of life through the Holy Spirit that has been given to you. God shows his love for us. While we were ungodly, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died for the soldiers nailing him to the cross. Jesus died for this Samaritan woman. Jesus died for you and for me. And through him, and through faith in his name, you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what this text means for you. So in conclusion, Because salvation has come from Jesus, who was a Jew, from the messianic line of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Judah and David, we who are Gentiles now and are not Jews, like the Samaritan woman, can also worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Since we've been justified by grace and have access to God and have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, we drink of the water of eternal life constantly. So rejoice with the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus has given you the living water of his word, of water and word in holy baptism, of the word through preaching and teaching and absolution which your ears have heard, of the bread and wine along with the word in holy communion. Don't neglect your spiritual life. Drink deeply of the living water of Jesus. Come often to the divine service to receive the gifts of God from Jesus, the gift of God. Until we come into heaven and to paradise in the new Garden of Eden, and we drink from the river of life forever and eat from the tree of life unto eternal life in paradise. God grant for you and me, like this blessed woman, to drink of the water of eternal life and to never thirst again. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.